It's time to go out and
from a windowsill that's getting narrower and narrower from a back-in-business nightclub at the end of the world. Hi, everybody. It's Mike Rupert, Tracker of Truth, back with you again on Sunday, the 11th of November, 11-11-12. 40 days until the solstice, and I don't think we're done with major events between now and then. We'll see. But this has been a real challenge. Been away for 3 weeks. I have missed you guys enormously. And there's obviously been so many things that I wanted to share with you along the way. But things work the way they work, and we adapt to what we're dealing with. I want to start this show tonight with two really great quotes that have come up in the last few weeks. One is from Russell Means, who passed on October 22nd. And his last words, or some of his last words, were, quote, "After I die, I'm coming back as lightning. When it zaps the White House, they'll know it's me." And on my Facebook page, you will see a great picture of Hurricane Sandy passing over Washington, D.C. It's actually a shot of the Capitol being hit by lightning. I was born in D.C. and the Capitol and the White House are very close together. And you can bet if there was lightning around the Capitol, there was lightning around the White House. And welcome back, Russell Dunkashina. It's nice to hear you out there with the thunders making noise. The other quote I wanted to start with tonight is from a Staten Islander. As I was watching all of the events, the tragic events that were happening with Sandy and the nor'easter which followed, I was finding the best information from local New York TV stations. And WABC had this interview on after the nor'easter had hit, and it was an interview with an absolute, one of the most miserable-looking people I've ever seen in my whole life, frozen, wet, soggy, straggy hair, and she was from Staten Island, and she says, "We get hit with a hurricane, and 5 days later, we get hit with a blizzard. You cannot tell me that things aren't going haywire around here." I mean, it was just one of those quintessential classic New York moments and New York quotes, but That's not to make light of what is a very, very serious situation. We're going to start early on the show tonight with someone who is one of my oldest and dearest friends, a woman who I just love amazingly much. She saved my life when I came back from Venezuela. She was a regular from the wilderness back in the old days. She ran my blog for me. She gave me shelter when I came back from Venezuela. I did actually 2 winters there in New York, which was good training for where I am now since it's about 9 degrees outside. But she is Jenna Orkin. She is just amazing. She's been around for those of us who have been following peak oil, the sustainability movement. She is a legend. She's extremely well known. She's a lifelong New Yorker. Her parents were lifelong New Yorkers. I have never met a more New Yorker in my life. And she's just a really good friend, and she is a trooper. She's extremely well educated and articulate. She's the author of the book, The Moron's Guide to Confronting Global Collapse. Excuse me. It's available on Amazon. It's a short, New Yorkerish, literate, witty bunch of observations and research and writing that Jenna's so good at. She has been a star over these last 3 weeks at CollapseNet, where she compiles the links for the news desk on a daily basis and frequently comments there. But she's been doing an amazing diary of events as they have unfolded since the storms hit and the aftermath and what's going on. And I'm not going to put any words in her mouth, because I would say categorically that in the whole world there's nobody's opinion who I would respect more under these circumstances. And I'm sure she'll agree, except for our dear friend Michael Caine, who we haven't heard from, who did a lot of writing on the storm issues, and we all knew what was coming. But Jenna is totally well-rounded, and we're going to have her on to talk about the situation in New York. Jenna Orkin, welcome to the Lifeboat Hour.
Thanks.
How are you?
Great.
All right. How are things in New York?
Most of New York is pretty oblivious, back up and running, forgotten about it. And then there are the people who have been forgotten about, and they're desperate.
And how many are there?
Oh, God, I don't know. And I have a feeling there are a lot more than we'll ever hear about, and that there have been and will be a lot more deaths than you'll ever hear about, because, you know, there are going to be people who just kind of had a heart attack or a stroke or something and died of that, and it will never be attributed to the intervening proximate causes.
Now you have been making your way around the city amazingly, being a volunteer, and I gather that that's happening widespread. There's a lot of New Yorkers showing up to help out.
Yeah, and thank God for that, because, you know, you could almost say that there's a stand down, I'm not exactly sure that the technical definition of that, but on the part of government agencies, they just are missing in action to a large extent. You know, there was that famous sign of FEMA's that said closed due to inclement weather, and then there was an instance which you haven't heard about yet because I just found out today. A friend of mine has an apartment in New Jersey which was flooded, and she and her daughter and grandchild were, you know, just sort of climbing the stairs as the waters were following them. And at one point they kind of flagged down a fireman who was down the block, and he was ignoring them. And then he came, and they said, "Can you help us?" And he said, "No, I'm not even supposed to be here. I can't save anybody until 7 o'clock tomorrow morning." So, and the Red Cross has been chastised by the relevant Congress people. So they have not been helpful, but the citizens have been unbelievable. And there have been efforts springing up at bars all over town, collecting food. And, they really do seem trustworthy. And Occupy Sandy is hard at work.
Yes,
so
yes. You wrote in one of your postings that it took you 4 hours to get roughly from Central Park to Staten Island.
No, it does normally. I'm saying that's why I have not gone there yet. No, that's just routine. So it's pretty awkward to get through there.
All right. Where I'm going with that, Jenna, is the subways. I have not seen any clear reports on how far down the subway lines are open. Are the lines open from Washington Square north? Or?
Oh, yeah. A lot of lines are open. My son tends to, under normal circumstances, commute from Brooklyn into Manhattan, but he's had temporary lodging in lower midtown Manhattan because it was just too arduous. But they are up and running.
All the way down to Wall Street?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There are some stops that you can't get off at, but I believe I haven't gone down to Wall Street, actually. I shouldn't speak too soon, but I haven't heard many complaints.
There's a lot of griping we see in the news about Long Island Power Authority and Long Island Railroad. What's going on Long Island, do you know?
I have not been to Long Island except that the Rockaways are totally destroyed, and what I've been focusing on is getting supplies out to them. No, the Rockaways are being neglected.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're focusing on right now is the environmental aspect of it, because it suddenly became clear over the last few days that with all these heartwarming efforts on the part of Occupy Sandy, they're going in and wearing paper masks. And they are, you know, blissfully naive about what they're exposing themselves to.
Mm-hmm.
Paper masks under certain circumstances can exacerbate the problem. So the New York Committee on Occupational Safety and Health has been issuing bulletins on how to protect yourself. And I forwarded some of those to CollapseNet. More will be forthcoming tonight.
Yes.
And Congressman Nadler has sprung back into action. He was a saint after 9/11, the only one, and he's just issued a press release. Other activists from 9/11 are getting on the case.
Okay, now let me just, for our listeners' benefit, tell them that Jenna Orkin was, from day one after September the 11th, 2001, was deeply involved in all the poison and toxins that were released around Ground Zero. And you fought that whole battle, so you are, and I'm very confident in saying this, an expert on these kinds of pollutants. What do you think are the biggest risks in terms of pollutants? I've heard people talking about stuff being washed out of the subways, washed out of the pipes. What are you getting?
I'm not educated officially in this, but from what I've seen from Hugh Kaufman, who's the EPA's chief investigator for solid waste, and from the New York Committee on Occupational Safety and Health, the major ones are bacteria, E. coli, and you know, intestinal-borne bacteria and others, also mold. And mold has been downplayed. So what you had after 9/11 was the Environmental Protection Agency coming out and saying, good news, the air is safe to breathe. Well, that became quite notorious. So they haven't done that again. They're just lying low. But what happened was there was a doctor who came out and said, you know, mold isn't as bad as its reputation. Don't worry about it so much. But people do need to worry about it. And there are precautions, specific things that you have to do against mold and against the sewage.
At From the Wilderness, I know when we were working with Michael Caine. Have you heard from Michael, by the way, anything?
No, I was going to ask you, but I heard your introduction.
Yeah, no, I've emailed him. He hasn't responded. I trust he was smart enough to get out because he was in a bad area. But anyway, we did a lot of work about the mold that was so toxic after Katrina and Rita. And we're looking at buildings in New York that the foundations of which in some cases are a century or more old. And I'm very worried about the mold and mildew and the rot and how many buildings will have to be condemned. What do we know about pipes freezing as a result of the nor'easter that hit and how many buildings have suffered damage that way?
I don't know numbers.
Okay. But it's happening?
I have not done research on that.
Okay. All right. Something else to watch out for, because these were things that we had looked at in the event of a large hurricane hitting New York in several cities.
Yeah. Now, today, the weather got up to about, you know, high in the 50s, and it's spooky. So we're back into that aspect of climate change again.
Okay. So overall, you are a lifelong New Yorker, and my guess is, well, I think you've made it clear that you're going to ride whatever's coming out there.
Almost feels as though there's no choice. Of course, there is a choice, but for somebody like me, as you know, it's not just pick up and move to the sticks.
No. You're a New Yorker, and you belong there, and that city beats in your heart. I know it.
Yeah, you're flickering in and out.
I have to check with the board because I'm not hearing that, and I'll have the board check on that. It might be your line. So how badly has New York City been hit? And admittedly, it's too early to know. We don't know the long term, but are you feeling this is a serious body blow to the city?
Yes, and I think if you can say that there's anything good to come out of it, it's the realization that people have. But on the other hand, you know, I deal with a lot of young people, and they have a tendency to see what there is today. And so I'm hearing them say things like, well, we're bouncing back, and that's what they expect to happen. So I think, there's been a body blow to tens of thousands of people, ironically some of the same ones who got hit by 9/11, the people in on the Lower East Side in Chinatown were assaulted this time also. So it's more on what you would consider the periphery of New York. I mean, it really is the heart, but it's not what people think of when they think of New York. They're not aware of these people.
Right. But then the question arises, how badly has the city been affected in terms of the people who go and man the jobs and get the things done that keep the city running and everything else? Here's a little quote, a story that showed up on the news links a couple days ago. This is from NBC News from November 9th, which said, Superstorm Sandy may consign as many as 250,000 new and used cars and trucks to the scrap heap, a loss that could eventually lead to a spike in new auto sales. These fools are saying that with 7 gallons of oil in every tire and all those resources being thrown away. And that's a huge issue in terms of the rebuilding, especially for the electricity. And I guess power outages are still a very significant problem.
Oh, my God, yes. There are some people who haven't got the power back at all. Some people got it and lost it again. No, there are people who have been without power and water since Hurricane Sandy. I don't know how they do it. I mean, I hear, you know, there are little piecemeal solutions here and there.
Mm-hmm. Well, more is going to be revealed on this, Jenna Orkin. And tell everybody about your book.
Oh.
Tell us about your book. What made you write this great book?
Yeah, okay, that's a very good question. It was that people needed to understand this at the most basic level, and there are people who don't, you know, they tune out if you start talking about economics. They just hear that word, and a veil falls in front of their eyes. So it's trying to make it accessible to in the simplest terms. And actually, what I'm working on right now is some videos to, I'm trying to avoid the phrase dumb it down because it's not exactly.
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
What it is.
Right. So it tries to make it a little light. In fact, it's Mike Rupert light.
Okay.
If that's not a contradiction in terms.
Yeah, could be. But then, you know, there's a new Mike Rupert now, so.
Right.
You know, then he did everything he could do as hard as he could do it and until he turned blue in the face and then some, and as did we all.
Yeah.
And we know that we've made a great impact. Your book is available on Amazon, yes?
Yes.
And I don't know how much it costs. It's not a very long book, but it sure is fun. So you wanted to do it light, and how? Book's been out for how long? About a year now. Huh?
It's been out since March, and it actually has sold, which is a miracle considering there was zero advertising. And you know, there are some people I think who buy it and get to page 3, and then kind of shudder in horror and throw it across the room. You know, it's what is that? But I know that it has made a difference to some people, and if the numbers don't matter, then that's a thrilling result.
We have all made a difference, Jenna Orkin. You've been at this game now since 2005?
Since 2004, and what day was that? I'll tell you, it was September 9th. It was the day I heard you talking about peak oil and 9/11. I mean, before that, I was on the environment in, you know, post 9/11, but not peak oil.
You have been a stalwart contributor to all of our efforts, and so many of us love you and thank you so much. And for those of you who have just heard this wonderful lady on the show here, you can see her work every day on the World News Desk at CollapseNet.com. CollapseNet.com. And I think you all better go out and buy her book, or I'm sending Luigi, Guido, and Salvatore to knock on your door and make you buy the book. How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jenna Orkin, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Stay on the job. I love you, and keep doing what you do.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Jenna.
Okay.
Oh, it was fun to have her on. I miss her. I haven't heard her voice in a long time, and she's out there doing it every day, and like so many New Yorkers are. And we still wait to see and understand how serious the wound is to New York City. But there are a lot of other wounds that we need to pay attention to tonight. And I'm kind of building this whole show around what is really becoming apparent to a great many people tonight. And I'm building the whole show around a song that I'm going to play at the end, because this is the time that it feels like. But I'm going to leave you in suspense. We're going to play the song in the second half of the show later on. There's been some real interesting little Facebook side commentary, and it's I've just been amazed at Facebook, right? The people who are insisting that Hurricane Sandy was man-made, totally controlled by man, by HARP, by Barack Obama, to swing the election. I mean, I've heard a lot of insanity. But, you know, so I'm going to talk about that for a little bit, for a second, because that leads to so many places that are so insightful. I've spent the better part of this year walking a spiritual path, building a structure for all the listeners here on the show, showing clearly from a scientific standpoint, from Cartesian ones and zeros, that there is no human power that can turn the collapse of human industrial civilization around. There are too many wounds in too many places. The fact that Hurricane Sandy was followed a few days later by a nor'easter that didn't do anybody any good but just made the situation worse. I'm kind of voting in favor of Russell Means and the Spirit people because there's too many other things going on right now that cannot be explained by people who have a pathological need to believe that mankind actually controls this planet and everything on it. I cannot believe the sickness of people who would vehemently argue harp, 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 and man-made storm, and they would ignore the fact that the cesium level of Tokyo tap water is 4% higher than it is in Fukushima, already very serious and dangerous and deadly doses. And I wonder if mankind is in control of everything, and everything happens because somebody's engineering something, as Alex Jones and the other psychopaths would have you believe. Last Friday, there were 7 separate earthquakes, 4 or higher on the Richter scale at Fukushima. The epicenter was Fukushima. We know that Building 4, which is teetering, holding enough spent fuel rods that if they have open contact with the atmosphere, is enough to kill enough radiation to kill everything on Earth. And these 4 quakes that are happening, and a building that's been confirmed to be sinking now at an uneven level. It's tilting, and it's barely holding up. How about the methane release in the Siberian Arctic, guys? Is that man-made? Is that Barack Obama or the Illuminati trying to do something else for some other purpose? What about the fact that 200 species a day, from a story on the Huffington Post citing UN and scientific data, 200 species a day are going extinct. They are choosing to no longer live on this planet. That's the way the shamans would say it. And is it man-made if there are biblical droughts in the Western Hemisphere running all up and down the United States, Kansas, Texas, crops failing, biblical droughts, herds dying all down through South America, or that there's biblical floods in Europe? Is that all organized with some specific intent to manipulate something for somebody's benefit? For the first time in 39 years today, Israel launched a missile into Syrian territory, and that's all going up now. Yeah, somebody's got that under control. You know, and so as we sneaking up on the break here, I'm going to come back. This is a show about letting goodbye, and this is a show about a real separation that is occurring between the people who can and have made a journey to their heart and people who refuse to face their own shadows. Who refuse to see the darkness in themselves and who cannot possibly psychologically or spiritually for a moment begin to admit that there might be a power greater than they are that might have recorded and hold them accountable. Spiritual passage, and that's the work that we've been doing here this whole year, that we have a choice to either live from our head, and we are witnessing the result of that, or to live from our heart. And that's what the change of the age is all about. And the longest journey in the world is from the head to the heart. And what lies in between that? All the wreckage of our individual lives. That's what any mystical path, any mystical teaching will tell you. That's what Native American spirituality says. We have to purify. We have to face the shadows, what's inside. And the people who can't face the shadows are the same ones who are denying that human industrial civilization is coming to an end. On the other hand, we have been documenting here also painstakingly the birth of a new species of human being that I called and labeled about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, post-petroleum human. Post-petroleum human has a different set of values. And we're strong now, and we're starting to live there, and we're detaching. We are disconnecting, whether we are in, whether we worked on sustainability in our own regions in Northern Cal, Southern Cal, in different regions and cities, whether we're living on a mesa outside of Taos, New Mexico, rebelling completely against anything to do with the grid, whether we're anywhere in the world. We're detached and we're pretty clean and we're not carrying a lot of baggage. And here I have to come back to something that tracker Tom Brown said to me, said some time ago. I went to his course February 2 years ago, to his standard course. It's best to be prepared to live no more than 3 days in any one place and travel light. And when we travel light, we have to travel without our emotional baggage. You know, it is so clear now, and it's really starting to sink into a great many people, although I'm starting to see some zombie hysteria breakout. But Guy McPherson, who was a guest on this show, is a professor emeritus from the University of Arizona, and I just have such admiration and respect for him, man, because he's clear. And he's living in New Mexico, and he's doing a thing, as so many of us are. But scientifically, it is established that the only thing that will allow human beings, Homo sapiens, to survive, and probably most of the life on the planet, scientifically, quote, this is Guy McPherson, and I agree totally, the answer is to terminate industrial civilization as quickly as possible. And anything less is masturbation. It's futile. I'm having a real backlash on Facebook and everywhere. People who are concerned about some bill or some law, they just do not get the picture. And those people are the ones that are starting to freak out, because there is a separation that is beginning. I know that a lot of people, and we'll lead up to the break with this. I know that a lot of people have noticed, as did I, that in the same day, David Petraeus suddenly resigned as DCI, Director of Central Intelligence, over an extramarital affair. The CEO of Lockheed Martin also resigned over an extramarital affair. The chief of the Russian General Staff, the Russian equivalent of the chairman of our Joint Chiefs, what we would call a four-star, he's a colonel general, quit the same day over some kind of scandal and whatever, and the BBC director general leaves a couple of days later. Now, I see a lot of wheel spinning about this. People look microscopically looking for answers and what does it mean and trying to divine tea leaves, but you have to look at all of this as a package together. Now, I don't have the answer, but what I will tell you is that something very, very large is about to happen, a major sea change in world policy, a major event. This was a clearing of the decks, and who knows how many other people have suddenly changed. But these were key people in pivotal positions in three of the most powerful countries in the world, suddenly being replaced over, give me a break. Give me a break. So don't get too focused on that, and don't split hairs. Don't look at the big picture. You have to be the condor now. You have to fly high and keep your eye on the fact and your heart on the fact that the world that we have known is ending rapidly. And as we have observed, too, with the shifting of energies, that is taking place, that the catastrophes which are striking us are coming faster. They are coming closer together, and they are getting bigger and bigger. And there are now 40 days left until December 21st, 2012. And I know something, several things are absolutely certain to happen on that day. We crossed the galactic plane for the first time in 26,000 years. The Mayans' mathematical and astronomical prophecies were absolutely terrific, and there are many, many other signs from many, many other places that something large is happening. Nobody's saying, and I didn't say, the Mayans don't say the world ends on that day, but an age is ending. And shamanism meets science. Shamanism meets history. We have the prophecies, and then we look at the world around us and the list of tragedies that I just read to you all. And you have to realize that there's something going on that's bigger than mankind's ability to control. And the second half of this show is going to be how we are beginning to orient ourselves to relate to and adapt to that new age. This is Michael Rupert, Tracker of Truth, on the Lifeboat Hour at PRN. We will be right back after these messages.
keep our hope for is the dawn.
Yeah. All we hope for is the dawn, and that's coming because that has to. All the other stuff has to transpire before we can see the dawn and the coming of a new age. In one way or another, we know that's coming. I'm going to read a couple of quick emails that were sent to the email that sometimes is working. That's lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. I'm not going to read a lot of emails or take a lot of calls tonight until I make sure that I get said the things that I need to say. But Lee Deathcare Nelson is a great friend, Windermere Assassin from the UK. And he's just been a great, wonderful, bright light shining out there. He writes in, "Hey, good buddy, I started to come across a hell of a lot of news items regarding our friends in the stars. With a new sighting that lasted several hours in Scotland, and I hear there was a sighting in the U.S., West Virginia, which was sighted, and according to the report, the UFO was circled by Air Force jets. Several jets appeared to fly in the vicinity of the UFO. Contrails could be seen zigzagging all around the object. This made for much speculation by those who witnessed the strange airborne object. Reports from Pike County also said the UFO was spotted near Elkhorn City and Pikeville, Kentucky. Several calls were made to 9/11 about the object." And yeah, you're right, that's happening, and there's a guy who turns out to live close to me here who was has confirmed he did a major press conference, Robert Hastings, in Washington, D.C. in 2005, I believe it was, with senior Air Force officers. This is the stock my father came from, my family came from, and these are honorable men. All very clear that UFO sightings around U.S. missile installations are increasing rapidly, and we've had two sightings here. I don't know what it means, but it's something that can't be ignored anymore than it should be ignored, like Gary Null was talking about, that the U.S. absolutely lied about why we invaded Iraq, and nobody's bothered to make the government accountable for that. He also sent another one. Lee writes in basically that he knew things were bad in New York, but not that bad, and I could divine that they are and they will be, and I think Jenna was very correct. We will never know how many people actually died as a result of this, and they will do everything to cover it up. But it's certainly going to be in the thousands, and it's not over yet. We don't know how bad these buildings are. We don't know when power is coming back on. We don't know what's happening with disease. People in New Jersey, the National Guard is doing like armed convoys of gasoline. This is really playing like one of those disaster movies that did not have a good ending from the 80s and 90s. And it's far from over yet, because the key thing, I think, also that Jenna said was that the government is missing in action. I would remind you all to look back and just ask yourself, gee, has the damage from Hurricane Irene been repaired? No. How about the Haiti earthquake? No. How about Katrina? No, that hasn't been rebuilt. How about Christchurch, New Zealand? That, no. The wherewithal to rebuild is gone, is going, is done. They may have the subway lines up and running, but there are, I would say, easily hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut right now having a very hard time, and it's far from over. So, let's go back onto the theme for tonight. As I'm watching the chatter around all of this, as people really start to get nervous, as the sleeping zombies out there are starting to really grok that the time has run out, I'm watching all these, well, okay, I'm going to go to Costa Rica. I'm going to go to Sweden. And the guy on Facebook from Sweden thought, don't come here. It's horrible here. There are very few places to run. And this is a theme that I have been repeating over and over. If you're looking to run, first of all, you're a coward, and you're playing into the division and the separation as if there's some part of this planet that is miraculously going to survive intact. It isn't. You know, the time to go build your lifeboats and the time to relocate has long since passed. People worry about stocking up. I see gun sales are higher than they've ever, which is stupid because gun sales have been outrageously high with every catastrophe. But you know, guns are flying off. These are all the latecomers, and these are the ones who are not going to make it. But they're worried about the wrong things, and as we've tried so hard on this program, especially with the music from the likes of the wonderful Diane Patterson. She's doing good, by the way. She's on an amazing tour. and she's been booked for December 21st, if the plane tickets worked out, to be performing at Chichen Itza in the Yucatan, in the heart of Mayan country. And I had to send Diane an email saying, we're like ships that pass, and we were like ships that passed in the night. I love her to pieces. We're really good friends. You know, you're on your way to good duty, and me, I'm up in the boonies here, standing my post. We were going to opposite ends of Mother Earth. But this post-petroleum human living from our heart thing, we don't worry about anymore the physical preparations. I don't, and that's what's so beautiful about this community that I see emerging with a clear, strong voice. We saw it in Occupied Cascadia. We see it all over Facebook. We see it coming out of people's hearts. So we're not asking, do you have a generator, or do you have a gun, or do you have water? Here's, well, there's a guy named Mike Bland, one of my friends on Facebook, posted on my Facebook page, and he wrote, Mike, well, you've been telling the people that this is the 11th hour. Now you must go back and tell the people that this is the hour. And there are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in right relation to your friends, to your family, to the world? Where is your water? Know your garden. It is time to speak your truth. Create your community. Be good to each other, and do not look outside yourself for the leader. This could be a good time. There is a river flowing now very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel they are being torn apart, and they will suffer greatly. Know that the river has its destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, keep your eyes open and our heads above water, see who is in the water with you, and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we've been hoping for. And that passage came from the elders, the elders of the Oribe Arizona Hopi Nation. And that's right on the money. What is of concern to so many of us now, and I'm getting emails and they're showing up on Facebook already, that you guys are cheering that somebody's actually saying this. You know, it's all that matters now is whatever is written in your heart, that's all that matters. That's the only thing that matters. And too many people will never be able to find a way to their heart because they will be living in their head as the era of the intellect, the male-dominated brain, comes to an end, as it must, because it's incomplete. And it can't produce anything but more destruction. Mother Earth's had enough, but I will tell you, it is my deep belief that Mother Earth is she's all ears. She's listening right now, and like any good mother, for anybody who wants to come and say, I'm sorry, have pity on me. Because the human race is not going to get anywhere as long as we start demanding justice and equality. We're not going to accomplish anything until we start asking for some mercy and some forgiveness. Keith Markley posted on my Facebook page, he wrote, the human race is dividing. Those still asleep now after all of this will never awaken. They will continue to fight the ones who have already awakened for no other reason than fear of what their awakening represents. Those awakened have already seen that we're not in Kansas anymore. They are the 100th monkey. It's naive to believe everyone in the world is going to wake up, and they are not. So now that leads me to where I was going for the song tonight. We can't go back to the physical world that we lived in. We can't go back to the emotional world that we lived in. And not everybody is going to wake up. And there is a saying goodbye that is imminent, not just to the physical way of life, but now is the time when families and relationships are going to be ripped apart. Those of us who are going one way know that we have done everything that we could, but there comes a time when you have to let go, because this division, this separation between those who have chosen to evolve into a new state of consciousness and those who have chosen to die with the old one is ordained. And the souls going in both directions, if you will, have chosen their path, and they have to go that way. And the letting go and the saying goodbye is hard. But here's my intent with this particular song tonight. I am a warrior. There's no doubt about that. I'm recognized as a warrior in a lot of places. I'm a spiritual warrior. I'm a warrior of light. And I've done the warrior thing in the world out there, too. But I will speak with authority when I say this, that no warrior that I have ever known or respected achieved his power as a warrior from his head. Every warrior I have ever known, loved, or respected, or followed, or been inspired by, has been a warrior who lived and fought from his heart. That's where the power comes from. That's what makes a warrior great. And we are all warriors who choose to live there because we are choosing to carry a light. So here's the song. And as I heard this song, you know, I've got a crush on Jane Siberry. She's got a couple of great songs that we've played. An amazing songwriter. But this is a song, again, that was recorded by the incomparable Katie Lang. Jane's an amazing singer, but, I mean, sorry, Katie is Katie. And it's a great video. You can find it on YouTube. But this was a song that was written, I guess, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago. And it was a song about a love affair ending. But as I listen to this song, it is the perfect song for all of us who are saying goodbye to people who won't get it, who can't get it, whose fates are determined, whose paths are chosen, or all of us who are saying goodbye to a world we know can't come back, that we don't want to come back, that can't change, a world that's beating like a tin drum over and over again, like a tin drum, and those on that side are going to have a stark awakening, but it's all about how we can love the things that are going away. The song is called Love is Everything by Jane Siberry, sung by the remarkable Katie Lang.
I'd like to do another Jane Siberry song. Beautiful. Summation of all things love.
Love is everything.
amazing song that was, and how appropriate. Hey, listen, I plead totally guilty to being sentimental and trying to get you into your hearts and maybe bringing a tear to your eye, because that's where safety lies. And that's the crack. Another one of the greatest songwriters in the world, Leonard Cohen, wrote that there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And so if we make that crack, those cracks happen, and we connect with our feelings, and we learn, and we accept, those of us who are post-petroleum humans, those of us who are truly of Gaian consciousness, those of us who truly understand that the only option left now is to move into our hearts and to live from a place of love and cooperation and to vibrate at those frequencies. We're off the hook. We have done all that we could have been expected to do, or that we were obligated to do, to awaken those who would listen. We are at the point, regardless of what happens between now and the 21st, we are at the point now, regardless of what happens after, we are at the point now where the separation is clear and it's justified, and the world is splitting in two different directions, even as it collapses. And it is time for us, as the Aibi elders tell us from the Hopi Nation, for those of us who are going the way of the heart, to also celebrate, to also now turn our faces to the sun, because that way we will see fewer shadows. And the shadows are going to be descending upon the world ever more quickly, ever more violently, ever more mercilessly. And we have yet to see what's going to happen in New York, and everything else in the world is just going right down the toilet, as we all know it will. But it's a clear demarcation. The sense is out there in the world. So I would like to offer a suggestion. You don't have to do it. But I would suggest for all of you who believe that there's some solution to be had in passing a law or waking people up or getting government or organizing something or going to do something and get somebody to do, you know, all of you want to do that, just try this. You have nothing to lose. And following the approaches that you've been following, you haven't produced any good results anyway. And this is my suggestion for what I think might be the most helpful thing in the world any of us could do at this moment. So wherever you are right now, this works best actually if you're out sitting on the ground and your bare feet with your feet in the dirt and your hands in the dirt, but it can work just as well even if you're sitting on a high rise in a chair in a house. Just close your eyes and picture a connection stretching down from you to the center of this planet that supports us, that feeds us, that is eager for us to ask for mercy and forgiveness, that is hoping that we will change our ways, but that's obviously had enough. And just close your eyes for a second and try to open your heart and send something down, a message to her that says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We've all done real bad here. We have all messed things up. And from my heart, I want you to forgive me, and if you can, show mercy. Show mercy. Because shamanism and science are becoming ever more clear on this, that consciousness is reality. It's the consciousness that we choose to live in now. So I would echo the words of a shaman I heard was filmed in Mexico saying, the trees want to help you. The birds want to help you. The water wants to help you. The air wants to help. Every living thing wants to help you. All you have to do is see them and treat them as something that is connected to you, something that is a part of you in consciousness, and ask for help. End the division, end the dominion, end your separation from this universe. The only chance you got. And it's a bittersweet night tonight, but I leave tonight feeling very, very happy and very, very grateful that I am privileged to see so much of this change in consciousness happening. And it takes what it takes to make it happen. And I'm very grateful, and I want to say again that the folks at PRN have risen to some enormous challenges. Gary Knoll was a gentleman, very generous to offer his services to WBAI and to forsake getting his own operations up. that's some wonderful people on this network that I'm very proud to be a part of. And I'm going to sign off with that, and I'm going to say that this is Tracker of Truth. And if it works for next week, I will be back, but I will certainly see you in the light. See you next week.